What happens when a ruthless crime lord kidnaps the daughter of his enemy? For Carter Cross, capturing Arya Talvery was supposed to be a strategic move in a brewing war between criminal families. Instead, it became the beginning of a dark, twisted love story that would challenge everything they both believed about themselves. This USA Today best-selling novel has captivated readers worldwide with its exploration of power dynamics, trauma, and the blurred lines between captor and captive. Celebrities like Megan Fox have praised its unflinching look at complex relationships, while critics note how it redefined boundaries in the dark romance genre, inspiring countless imitators since its publication. Carter Cross sits in his dimly lit office, contemplating a mahogany and steel box, a trophy from a man he killed for stealing from him 3 years ago. The box, intricately carved with serpentine patterns, serves as both decoration and reminder. This moment perfectly encapsulates who Carter is, calculating, ruthless, and unforgiving. As the leader of a rising criminal organization in Chicago's underbelly, Carter has spent the last decade building his empire through strategic violence, calculated intimidation, and an unwavering vision of power. His brothers, Daniel, Jace, and Declan, form his inner circle, each bringing distinct strengths to their collective operation. Daniel, the diplomat, handles negotiations and legitimate business fronts. Jace, with his military background, oversees security and enforcement. Declan, the youngest, manages their tech operations and intelligence gathering. Together, they've transformed themselves from street-level thugs to sophisticated criminals who make other families nervous. When Carter's brother Daniel questions whether they should get involved in the brewing war between two established crime families, the old money Talveries and the aggressive upstart Romanos, Carter is resolute. "War is coming," he states with cold certainty, fingers trailing over the box's metal clasp. "We must choose a side before one is chosen for us." This decision will irrevocably change their lives, especially when Romano offers Carter something unexpected during a clandestine meeting at the docks: Arya Talvery, the protected daughter of their mutual enemy. Carter's interest in Arya isn't merely strategic. 7 years ago, something happened between them at a charity gala, a moment only he remembers, that left him obsessed with possessing her. She looked at him without fear, not knowing who he was, and offered him a genuine smile that haunts his dreams. His brothers don't understand his fixation, but they trust his judgment, even when it puts them all at risk. As Carter watches Daniel's woman, Addison, whom the Romanos had previously tried to take as leverage, his determination hardens. He won't just take Arya as a bargaining chip. He'll make her completely his, body and soul. The Cross brothers have built their reputation on fear and respect, cultivated through both brutal efficiency and business acumen. They control significant territory through their legitimate businesses, the exclusive Red Room nightclub, the Ironheart Brewery, and a string of high-end restaurants, while their drug operations generate millions in underground revenue. But Carter's obsession with Arya threatens to complicate their carefully constructed world. Their empire stands at a crucial turning point: expansion or destruction. Is he willing to start a war just to possess one woman? The answer, as his brothers will soon discover through blood and fire, is unequivocally yes. Arya Talvery's life changes forever when she visits the Ironheart Brewery searching for her stolen sketchbook. As the daughter of a powerful crime lord, she's lived a sheltered yet privileged existence, finding solace in her art and memories of her murdered mother. The sketchbook contains the only photograph she has of her mother, making its recovery deeply personal. What begins as a simple retrieval mission turns into a nightmare when silenced gunshots ring out. Men grab her, throw a bag over her head, and toss her into a car trunk. Her terror is palpable as she lies bound in complete darkness, her mind racing with possibilities of what might happen to her. Will her father pay a ransom? Will she be tortured for information? Or will she simply disappear, another casualty in her father's violent world? When the bag is finally removed, Aria finds herself in a room with Romano, one of her father's enemies, who kicks her brutally when she begs for her life. Just as the situation seems hopeless, a commanding presence enters the room. Carter Cross, with his cold, amber-brown eyes, studies her with an intensity that makes her both terrified and hopeful. Though she doesn't recognize him, something about him suggests he might be her salvation. Instead, Carter claims her as his own, taking her to a sparse cell containing only a mattress and toilet. This 10x10 room becomes Aria's world, a place where she alternates between defiance and despair. She screams at the surveillance camera that follows her every move, slams chairs against the door, and eventually retreats to the corner farthest from the door, finding small comfort in maximizing the distance between herself and her captor. In this cell, Aria's nightmares return, vivid recreations of her mother's murder at the hands of a man named Stefan. These night terrors become so intense that Carter sometimes rushes to her cell, finding her trapped in her own personal hell. Despite her hatred for him, she clings to him during these moments, begging him not to leave her alone with her demons. "You are mine." Carter's words echo through Aria's cell, establishing the dynamic that will define their relationship. From their first interactions, Carter makes it clear that he expects complete submission. He demands that she kneel when he enters the room, that she follow his every command without question. When she defies him, which she does frequently in the beginning, he responds with calculated punishments designed to break her will. Yet something unexpected develops between them. Carter finds himself drawn to Aria's continued resistance, her refusal to be completely broken. "I don't want you weak," he tells her. "I want you mine." This distinction becomes crucial to understanding their relationship. Carter doesn't want to destroy Aria. He wants to possess her entirely, body, mind, and eventually heart. For Aria, the situation is equally complex. Though she hates her captivity and what Carter represents, she finds herself responding to his touch, craving the moments of pleasure he provides amid her imprisonment. When he bathes her, feeds her, and pleasures her body, she experiences a confusing mixture of shame and desire. "You fucking love what I do to you," he whispers, and she cannot deny it, though she hates herself for it. Their physical relationship intensifies as Carter gradually allows Aria more freedom within his home. He moves her from the cell to his bedroom, gives her beautiful clothes, and eventually creates a special room just for her, a hideaway decorated in blush and gray tones where she can retreat when she needs space. These gestures of apparent kindness are always accompanied by reminders of her captivity. The diamond and pearl necklace he gives her functions as a beautiful collar. The security system prevents her escape, and his constant surveillance ensures she never forgets who controls her world. As their physical intimacy deepens, so does their emotional connection, though neither wants to acknowledge it. Carter begins to show glimpses of vulnerability, particularly during his nightmares when he clutches Aria so tightly she can barely breathe. Aria, meanwhile, finds herself wanting to heal Carter's broken soul even as she plots potential escapes. Their relationship becomes a dangerous dance where power constantly shifts between them, neither fully submitting to the other despite appearances. At the heart of Carter and Aria's relationship lies shared trauma. Both have experienced profound loss and violence that shaped their worldviews. For Aria, witnessing her mother's murder at the hands of Stefan Romano created deep-seated fears and nightmares that have haunted her for years. For Carter, losing family members and experiencing violence at the hands of Aria's father forged him into the ruthless man he became. When Carter discovers that Stefan Romano is the man haunting Aria's nightmares, he sees an opportunity. In one of the novel's most pivotal scenes, Carter arranges a dinner with both Romano and Stefan present. Throughout the evening, he psychologically tortures Aria, making her believe he might give her to Stefan. Just when her terror reaches its peak, Carter reveals his true intention. "It's a gift for you," he tells her, offering her a knife and commanding, "Kill him, Aria." This moment transforms their relationship. Aria attacks Stefan with savage fury, stabbing him repeatedly while screaming with pain and grief. Her assault is chaotic and frenzied as she releases years of trauma. When Stefan lies dead, Aria remains fixated on his corpse, unable to believe he's truly dead. To prove it to her, Carter decapitates Stefan's body, then grips her chin and delivers a chilling promise. "He'll never have power over you again. The only thing you have to fear is me." This shared act of violence creates a powerful bond between them. Carter has given Aria vengeance for her mother's murder, while Aria has proven her capacity for violence matches his own. The blood they've shed together becomes another thread in the complex tapestry of their relationship. Their traumas continue to intertwine as Carter eventually reveals why he targeted Aria specifically. Years ago, when Talvari's men captured and tortured him, Carter believes Aria saved his life. "I wanted her to know what it was like to wish you could just die and not have to live another day with the person you've become," he confesses to his brothers. Though he initially took her for revenge, his feelings evolved into something more complex, a possessive love that consumes him. As their relationship deepens, Aria faces an impossible choice: her family or the man she's grown to love despite everything. This conflict comes to a head when her family attempts to rescue her, placing explosives around Carter's estate, similar to those that once destroyed his childhood home. When confronted with this situation, Aria makes a decision that shocks everyone, including herself. She points a gun at Carter, forcing him to let her family escape, but then chooses to stay with him. This moment of betrayal shatters the fragile trust between them. Carter's rage is terrifying as he screams at her to leave, flipping over furniture and pursuing her through the house. Desperate for safety, Aria locks herself inside a bulletproof box in his office, the same box that had triggered her claustrophobia and panic attacks earlier. Inside this confined space, she sobs as her pearl necklace breaks, the beads rolling around her like scattered pieces of their relationship. The aftermath of this betrayal forces both to confront their true feelings. Despite his fury, Carter cannot let Aria go completely. He arranges for her to stay at a safe house with Addison, Daniel's fiancé, placing 50 men around the property to protect her. Similarly, Aria finds she cannot simply return to her family despite having the opportunity. She's changed too much, become too entangled with Carter to simply walk away. Their separation becomes another battlefield as both struggle with their conflicting desires. Carter wants to punish Aria for her betrayal, yet cannot bear the thought of losing her. Aria wants freedom from the violence of both families, yet cannot imagine life without Carter. When they do reunite, their encounters are explosive, filled with anger, punishment, pleasure, and desperate confessions of love that neither fully trusts. The war between their families escalates during their separation, with casualties mounting on both sides. Aria recognizes names of her father's men who have died, men who shared meals at her family table, whom she was taught to respect as family. Carter, meanwhile, becomes increasingly ruthless in his pursuit of vengeance against the Talvari family, knowing each death drives another wedge between him and Aria. As the conflict between the families reaches its breaking point, devastating truths emerge that shatter the very foundation of Carter and Aria's relationship. During the tense confrontation in Carter's penthouse, the same place where they first gave in to their attraction, Aria finally voices what she suspected since their first heated encounter. With trembling hands and tears threatening to fall, she confesses that she was never the mysterious savior from his past. "Whatever he thinks happened, didn't," she realizes with crushing certainty. explaining how she never went anywhere near her father's business operations or interrupted his work. The timing, the location, even the basic details, none of it aligns with her memories of that period. Carter's reaction is visceral and immediate. His entire worldview, built on years of obsessive planning and calculated moves, crumbles before him. He paces the room like a caged animal, running his hands through his hair in agitation, calling her a liar repeatedly. The uncertainty of their origin story creates another fracture in their already damaged relationship, leaving both of them reeling from its implications. For Carter, who has meticulously constructed his feelings for Arya on this foundation of perceived debt and destiny, the truth proves almost unbearable. The situation becomes exponentially more complicated when Arya discovers her pregnancy. The test results, 3 positive lines on 3 different brands, leave her frozen in her bathroom, contemplating the weight of her circumstances. She keeps this revelation close to her chest, analyzing 3 possible futures with methodical precision, seeking comfort with Nikolai while her heart remains with Carter, returning to Carter despite his consuming darkness, or forging a new path alone with her child, far from both families' bloody legacies. When Arya returns to her father's sprawling estate alongside Nikolai, ostensibly to negotiate peace, she stumbles upon a chilling discovery in her father's private office. There, displayed with almost perverse pride, hangs a large photograph of Carter's destroyed family home, smoke still rising from its ruins. The image, clearly taken moments after the attack, serves as a grotesque trophy of her father's victory. This visual confirmation of her father's direct role in Carter's suffering forces Arya to confront the intricate web of violence connecting their families across generations. The final blow comes during a devastating conversation with her father in his study. Between sips of aged whiskey, he reveals the truth about her mother. She had been engaged to his brother before his death and was already carrying Arya when she sought protection from him. His voice grows cold as he confesses to ordering her mother's execution when he discovered her plans to expose his operations to federal authorities. Despite these horrific revelations, he maintains that his love for Arya never wavered, though he admits that every time he looked at her, he saw echoes of her mother's betrayal in her features, a constant reminder of what he'd lost and what he'd done to keep his empire intact. The climactic confrontation unfolds in the oppressive grandeur of Arya's father's mahogany-lined office, where generations of criminal enterprises had been orchestrated. Carter arrives with his brothers, Nikolai's calculating presence and Jace's barely contained rage flanking him, their coordinated movements betraying years of working as a lethal unit. Talvery, cornered but still radiating menace, reveals the gun he's kept hidden in his desk drawer, a weapon that's ended countless lives before. The tension crescendos as Talvery levels his weapon at Carter, his hand steady despite the stakes. Arya lunges forward, her protective instincts overriding years of conditioning to fear her father. The room erupts into chaos, shouts echoing off wood-paneled walls, the shuffle of rapid movement, and the deafening crack of gunfire. Carter's decision is instantaneous and devastating. He throws himself into the bullet's path, his body jerking twice as 2 shots find their mark. His blood spreads across the imported Persian carpet, a crimson stain that would never wash away. Arya falls to her knees beside Carter, her hands pressing desperately against his wounds as blood seeps between her fingers. Her father's threats continue, his voice a mixture of rage and disappointment, but Arya remains unmoved. The warning from her recurring dreams pounds in her head with each beat of Carter's weakening pulse. Hold him tight or else he'll die. When Talvery raises his gun again, this time targeting his own daughter, another shot tears through the room. Nikolai stands with his smoking weapon, having made the choice Arya never could, ending her father with a precise shot through the cheek. In the aftermath, Arya rises from Carter's side, her clothes stained with his blood, but her voice steady with newfound authority. She outlines their path forward. She and Carter will lead together, presenting a united front against Romano's remaining threat. The power dynamic shifts palpably when Jace, known for his volatility and independence, publicly acknowledges her leadership, diffusing a potentially explosive confrontation with Nikolai. Before departing for the hospital, Arya issues one final command that will forever alter their family's legacy. "Burn it down," she orders, her voice cold and decisive. It was a house fire, and nothing more. The order serves multiple purposes, destroying evidence, marking an end to her father's reign, and symbolically cleansing the past. At the hospital, while Carter fights for his life in surgery, their relationship reaches its defining moment. As he recovers, their conversations turn raw and honest. Carter's vulnerability shows through as he pledges to be a father worthy of their child, his voice breaking as he begs for a single chance at redemption. "We don't have to tell him what a monster I was," he confesses, revealing his deepest fear, that their child might see the darkness he struggled to overcome. His marriage proposals come repeatedly, each one more earnest than the last, until Arya's tears fall freely as she whispers her yes, accepting not just his proposal, but the complex reality of their shared future. Their union, forged in violence but tempered by love, represents both an ending and a beginning, a chance to build something new from the ashes of their past. In the end, Carter and Arya's story is about finding love in the most unlikely circumstances. Their relationship begins with captivity and control, but evolves into something neither could have anticipated, a partnership where both are equally powerful and equally vulnerable. Though their love develops in darkness, it ultimately brings light to both their lives. Carter transforms from a man obsessed with possession to one willing to sacrifice himself to protect the woman he loves. His final act, throwing himself in front of bullets meant for Arya, demonstrates how completely his priorities have shifted. No longer is she merely a prize to be claimed, she's become his reason for living. Arya, meanwhile, evolves from a sheltered daughter to a powerful woman in her own right. By choosing to stay with Carter and take control of their combined operations, she embraces aspects of herself she once feared. The girl who once drew tarot cards to understand her fate now actively shapes her destiny, refusing to be defined by her past or her family name. Their relationship remains complex and sometimes troubling, built on a foundation of violence, control, and trauma. Yet within this darkness, they find something real, acceptance of each other's broken parts, understanding of their shared pain, and a love powerful enough to survive betrayal, war, and near death. As Carter promises Arya while recovering in the hospital, everything will be better than okay. Not perfect, not without challenges, but theirs to face together. In this world where loyalty is currency and power is everything, Carter and Arya create something revolutionary, a partnership based on choice rather than obligation, on love rather than fear. Their journey from captor and captive to equal standing side by side represents the ultimate transformation, proving that even in the darkest circumstances, love can be a redemptive force. As Carter and Arya begin their new life together, echoes of the past continue to haunt them. Arya's recurring dream featuring Tyler, Carter's deceased brother, and her mother suggests unresolved spiritual connections. In these dreams, her mother insists, "I never lied to her," and "I died for her," while Tyler warns Arya to hold him tight or he'll die, a message that ultimately saves Carter's life. The revelation that Arya's mother might have somehow guided Carter to her daughter years ago adds a mystical dimension to their story. The words, "I need you," that Carter claimed to hear when near death were the same words Arya spoke to her dying mother, creating a spiritual thread connecting their fates long before they physically met. Meanwhile, new threats emerge on the horizon. Marcus, a mysterious figure connected to the death of Carter's brother Tyler, continues to manipulate events from the shadows. Jace, Carter's brother, pursues this dangerous connection, determined to uncover the truth about a drug operation and the man who hurt them years ago. As Carter and Arya prepare for parenthood and leadership of their combatant territories, questions remain about whether they can truly escape the cycle of violence that define their families. Can they create something better for their child? Will their enemies, particularly Romano, allow them peace? And can their love, born in darkness and forged through trauma, survive in the light of normal life? Despite these uncertainties, one thing remains clear. Carter and Arya have chosen each other above all else. "There's only us," Carter declared during their darkest moment, and this truth becomes their foundation moving forward. Whatever challenges await them, they will face them together, no longer captor and captive, but partners in every sense of the word.